Fife fans. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Just have a chat about it. You know, every now and again, just...
Have a pancake and a cup of tea and a wee blether about Fife Club.
Yeah, just, you know, next time you're inviting people around for pancakes. Yeah, Shrove Tuesday maybe. Who knows?
A Fife Club and a pancake.
We might have just had pancakes. If you're all wondering why the pancakes are all that seems to be on our minds.
Pancakes.
So yeah, talk about Fife Club. We need you to do it now. Shout it out. Grab somebody by their lapels and scream Fife Club in their face. Take a pen and scrawl it into your desk at work. Write it on signs in public toilets. Hack the Beeb and get us on the ticker tape at the bottom of the screen. Get rich, buy a media company, take over Kingdom FM, play all 57 episodes on a loop forever just to make people aware of us.
Yep. Do that. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Or, you know, just smile at this little desperate attempt for validation and think, maybe later. Whatever works for you.
Yeah. For the uncaring. Yeah, no, agreed.
I think it's quite a lot to ask our listeners to do all that for us when we can't be fucked doing it ourselves. It's quite a level of commitment, hacking into the BBC or taking over Kingdom FM.
Then let's face it, I would not have any chance of hacking into anything. I could barely remember my password for things.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Has that ever happened? Has anyone hacked into the ticker tape at the bottom of a screen before?
Probably.
That would be really like it's usually a just life's like, achievement.
It's usually people on their last day at work and are a bit miffed, so decide to put up.
Sean says, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Can only read what's on the old. Word for word.
Go fuck yourself, Kirkcaldy.
Glenn Rothes.
No. Should we commission the Cold Down Daisies to do a song about all the shit places in Fife?
And alienate all their fan base.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not what we're doing here, honest. Anyway, on the mics with my good self Kutch is Fife Club's own Anderson Shelter. Looks substantial and like it'll protect you, but in reality will fold like a Kit Kat wrapper. It's Mark.
Hi there. Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm like a Rivita in the desert or something like that. extra crispy.
Did you say he looks substantial and like he protects you?
Yeah.
Like, he totally doesn't. He looks like he's not seen the sun for a few days and could really do with a little bit more exercise. Yeah.
Wow.
Harsh.
I didn't even being harsh. I just think...
To like, be fair, Max, you are fucking blind.
I am. I totally am. So don't listen to what I'm saying.
Well, as you can hear, next to him is our very own secret bunker. A deep tunnel in Fife that's not very secret. It's Mags.
A deep tunnel? What's the deep tunnel part all about?
Take that how you will.
I think that's offensive.
Yeah, you just called me fat. So. Absolutely, fuck you.
Fair enough.
It's fine, I knew that was coming, so I just let her ramble on.
Yeah.
Now we're not talking to one another.
Awkward.
Let's do the podcast.
We're already all a bit. We've all had a bit of a difficult week, and we're quite tired and grumpy, and then Kutch just had to put us in a really shitty mood by being rude to us. Now this is going to be the world's shortest podcast, because we're just going to finish our cup of tea and go home.
It's going to be like a family Christmas dinner. Everyone's really tired and just can't be arsed with each other. Yeah.
No, I'm not pissed enough for a family Christmas dinner. I would have, in fact, by now, by now I would be sober again. I could have been pissed all day.
And you would have already fallen out with multiple people.
Mm-hmm. Your sister at least 7 times.
That's just a normal day. If we have to spend time together. I saw her last week, went up to my parents last week, and we had about 3 days in my parents' house together. My parents' house is so it's not the house that we grew up in.
It's not the house we grew up in.
Well, just like, because when we were younger, like you guys went to the house, there was a bit more room, whereas this is like really small. And it's only really designed for 2 people. And so when you have more than 2 people living in it, it's quite tense at the best of times.
But you live in tents. Hey! Fat but funny.
Yeah. Anyway, all I'm saying is I've seen her this month, so I don't have to see her again for a while now. So I've done my bit.
Fair enough.
I think next time I see her, I'm going to stay at her house for Hip Kilt Festival. So obviously I love my sister very much. And we're going to have a great time together in July.
That's Hip Kilt Fest for any Celts who have hepatitis. So that's great. one of Scotland's premier medical and STI related festivals. Yep.
I actually just spat my tea back into my mug.
That's the symptom of having the bad hip.
The bad hip.
I don't think I've got hepatitis, but the free hepatitis test that we get when we're there will help sort that out.
The free hepatitis test? Yeah. Just to get on the island. Aye, so we are here. We're missing a number. Jamie isn't here. He, I think Beatty was needing a hand installing the head of his wicker man.
Yep.
Yeah, so Jamie, being the good neebs that he is, he went off to help.
And fair enough, if there's any one of us that's excellent at giving head.
Yeah, it's Jamie, yeah. Thanks for running into that joke for me.
Quite happy to. I just felt like you set that up a little bit. And
but yeah, I am a bit concerned that he might end up in the Wicker Man.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if he's had any success in actually making one yet, so.
Yeah, Wicker Man, he's a bit of a basket case, right?
Oh, God, this is shit chat. Yeah.
Long week. I maintain it's been a long week.
Mm-hmm. It has been.
I feel quite emotionally drained by the fact that it might be the end of the world soon, and this is all I've done with my life.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, guys. It's not going to happen. It's like,
I don't know.
I was thinking today, though, I'm pretty sure I felt about this like during like the last time that we thought about bombing Syria. And then before that, I'm pretty sure I felt about this like something to do with Iran or like
North Korea.
There's been a lot of, there's like in the last like 10 years or so, there's been a lot of instances where I thought it was the end of the world. Like, so basically, on a biannual basis since 2001, I've been thinking, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
So I'm just going through that again, like, this week with the whole Syria stuff. So yeah, that's why I'm on a bit of a downer.
And unlike, what's his face from REM?
Michael Stipe.
I don't feel fine.
No.
Well, the problem is we keep thinking it's the end of the world because we're all a bunch of fucking cuck snowflakes. Conditioned by our liberal lifestyle, right? Sorry, it's Fox News, right? I'm testing for Fox News, yeah?
Yeah, might as well.
Yep. I'm Fucker Carlson right here. Yeah.
So what's the latest situation? I actually haven't watched
the
news.
So basically, Donald Trump put out a tweet the other day saying, watch out, Assad and Russia, the missiles are coming. And then about 24 hours later, he went, sometime, I'm not telling you when. All the while, there's other reports saying that the Pentagon have agreed that if they do send over any missile strikes, they're going to give Russia the coordinates of where that's going to happen, just so we don't accidentally blow up any Russians
there. Yeah.
And actually ignite a tinderbox.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Syria's fucked enough. But if we just manage to spread that out to maybe the whole region and then possibly Russia, Eurasia, everybody gets involved. Yeah.
Yay, that'll be good fun.
Well, frankly, it's time that we actually blew up the world anyway, because I am genuinely sick of it. I think I'm fine if we all go.
Are you going for eugenics on a big scale?
Yeah. I am just going for a mass extinction event. Like, basically, we're like dinosaurs. We've outlived our usefulness, right? And we aren't even as cool as a Tyrannosaurus Rex or a Triceratops. Do you think in like years to come or something, after our mass extinction event, whatever comes after us will have a film that will basically be called like Human Park? Where like they wander around and escaped humans go running around the place.
Well, that, as I was saying to Max earlier on, I have buried a capsule 500 meters underground with nothing but the last 57 episodes of Fife Club. So it's the only thing that's left. So when somebody does discover this planet, yeah, we're a testament to what was left. Oh,
we're the summit of human achievement. Shit puns.
Oh, dear.
The one thing the future generations will learn is that Kirkcaldy's a shithole. And actually, if that is our lasting legacy in the world,
we've done good, Theo.
We've done good. Yeah.
I think we've warned the world about the dangers of lino production.
On the subject,
you will never get rid of the smell.
Yeah. On the subject of Kirkcaldy, the Lynx Market is coming.
Well, so I hear.
Yeah, so I've heard that there might be a little Fife Club trip to the Lynx Market, possibly.
It's quite Fife, isn't it?
It is really Fife. I've not been to the Lynx Market. So, well, we should explain to listeners who are not from Fife what the Lynx Market is. It's basically the shows, and if you're not from Scotland, the shows are the fair, but it's the shows.
Basically like a budget carnival.
Yeah, a really shit carnival. And it turns up in Kirkcaldy once a year and they close off the main road down the front of the town. Longest street fair in Europe, I believe. Yeah. People from Kirkcaldy like to tell you that because it's like it makes it sound way better than it actually is. Like it's basically just half a mile of sick rides surrounded by sick because people have got off them and been sick everywhere.
Rides that people probably will die on one day.
Yeah, like really rides it, it moves like it's a different place from week to week, so the health and safety inspectors never come and figure out whether they're safe or not, and they just spin you around and then you're sick everywhere, and then you go and try and win like a one-eyed goldfish on some like shooting game which is completely rigged so that you can never win it.
Or hook a duck.
Yeah. And so you have fun for about 2 hours, but then you feel really sick and you want to go home, and then you remember you're in Kirkcaldy and it just puts a massive downer on everything.
Or alternatively, there are some other exciting things. So you get yourself drunk on Buckfast and then have a knife fight.
Did you do that?
No.
All right,
no.
Okay. I never went.
Of course, no, but I'm fairly sure.
I never drank at the Lynx Market. I was always younger when I went to the Lynx Market.
I feel this is where we should have friend of the podcast, Ralph.
We should get Ralph. Like, maybe you could interview him later day. You could put like, a little snippet in. Like, and now Ralph's take on Lynx Market. It is Europe's longest street fair, and it is the best thing in the world ever.
And you get phenomenon. To stab folk. Yeah. So yeah, the Lynx Market. That's one of the heralds of the end of the earth, is it not?
when was the last time you had candy floss? Like that strikes me as a quite Lynx Market. And then those apples
chips,
are dipped
chips
in
chips and curry sauce. I always got chips and curry
chips
sauce.
Chips and curry
shows.
Sauce, yeah.
And I always used to make the mistake of having the chips and curry sauce and then going on a ride and then just throwing it straight up again.
Yeah.
Like my abiding memory of going to the shows is being sick.
Or go to the 10p stroke 2p machines and spend all your time in there.
Yes.
And
Lizzie
wasting
and my mum
like 30 quid
there.
And 2 pence.
Yeah.
And you'd maybe make about fiver back, but you'd spend that all as well.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. Oh, like the 2p and the 10p machines are
it's
a lot
tense.
Of fun.
The sheer level of jeopardy. Yeah. But they've made a fucking game show out of it.
They have, yeah.
Have they?
It's called The Edge or something, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's on.
Out of the 2p machines. Yeah. Is it just people putting money in a 2p machine and they get filmed?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's on like BBC, is it not? Is it not the contender to The Chaser? It's usually like on at the same time, I think. But
I don't think watching other people would be fun, though.
It's like
doing
a giant version of it as well.
Oh, do they have like plastic watches and like laminated £5 notes and stuff like that never actually fall
never
out?
Fall
is
out. Laminated £5. It's not even a £5 note. It's just printed.
It's a printed £5 note. It's been laminated. That they go in every hour when no one's looking, and just move it back a little bit further. So
and it's
all,
again, it's
it.
Always the thing that as soon as you walk away, somebody walks up and you just hear the. of everything just falling out.
Do you know what I really loved at the shows is it was in the arcade as well, the horse racing machine. Did you ever play that? And it was like you had to bet on which horse you thought would win, and clearly it was rigged so that if you put the money on it, that horse didn't win. But it would like you put the money and you press the button and then it would go it would be a funny tune played and these horses would mechanical horses would go across. Yeah, I liked that.
I didn't like they didn't eat the sugar cubes.
No.
Waste of time.
I think they'll go a bit rusty.
Yeah. Or candy floss. Would a horse eat candy floss? Answer me that. Riddle me that. Would a horse eat candy floss?
I think so.
I think a horse would eat anything, really. Yeah. I've had a horse try to eat my hand once.
Horses often try and eat my hair.
Because
like,
it looks like hay.
Genuinely one of the reasons why the horse fear started was
the
like
horse fear.
When you've had a really big Clydesdale horse try to eat your hair, it's a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, you just have nae luck.
Did you just do that?
Yeah, I did. There's only three of us, right?
Yeah.
I get more time for shit jokes. Listeners, I get paid by the terrible joke here.
No, he doesn't.
No, I really don't.
It's all on his own back.
So basically what we're saying is that Donald Trump and the Russians and Theresa May just need to calm the fuck down and just come to the Lynx Market.
Yeah.
And
have a knife fight.
Have a knife fight.
And then go on the waltzers.
Spend the cheapy machines and then they'll forget all about Syria. Yeah. And the world will be saved.
Do you think if we put Bashar al-Assad on the teacup ride with Donald Trump, we'd come out with some kind of resolution? I mean, it's possible, right?
Yeah.
Or dodge him.
No, I think...
World leader dodge him. Come on, that would be absolutely awesome.
I think Trump would... You could put him on one of the on the kiddie rides that just goes round in like cars chasing each other, but they're just round in a circle and they never catch each other. We could just put him on there and Assad on the other side and just let them go round forever and ever until they die. And neither... Well, I don't know about Assad, but Trump would never figure out the cars are fixed and he's never going to catch him.
He just spend like, all his time tweeting that he's
I'm getting closer. Yeah. I'm catching up.
Do you know what I loved about his tweet? Like today, I think it was the one where it was like, oh, we don't know when, but
yeah, bottled it. Absolutely fucking shat it, man.
Yeah. But it's at the end where it's like, and all we've done to free up the area of ISIS, where's America's thank you? It's like, that, what? Are you actually, I genuinely think he's looking for somebody to turn around and say, thank you, America. Yeah, thanks. You, Donald Trump.
Thanks for your weird intervention, which hasn't done anything to, like, solve any of the problems. There's still a massive, giant, swirling vortex that's brought in a partial Islamic caliphate. Well, no, in fairness, they didn't cause it.
No.
But they just haven't helped the situation by any stretch of the imagination.
That's what I don't get. It's like, why is it coming to a head now? Like, I know that there was the chemical weapons attack and stuff, but like...
Was there?
Well, was there? Yeah. But this is it. Like, it does feel like someone's looking for an excuse because this has been going on. Like you say, it's a total black hole and it's pretty unsolvable now. So why would you now decide to go in and start a world war over it? If you weren't looking for a war enemy.
Or if you wanted to find some excuse to stand, some excuse and some way to stand up to a Russian government who people at home think that are pulling the strings behind your own administration.
Yeah.
You get to talk tough against them, then you slightly back down. And then in a little period of time later, after some level of agreement, possibly sanctions against the Russian government, which were already in place, maybe just drop off the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the Russians might just pull out, maybe. Mm. I don't know. I would just be speculating. But
make him look good, yeah.
And then allow Putin to...
Well, also, it allows Putin and Trump to both look like the strong man and also slightly get away from the level of entanglement that they found themselves in over the election. Mueller's testimony and all this kind of thing that's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all speculation. Frankly, we'll never know. That's the big problem about this, isn't it? All this shit happens. Mm. We'll never know. There's so much of it seems just curious, right? At the very least, I'm not some tinfoil hat-wearing nutter, but there are just sometimes you just go... Really?
Yeah. Well,
that just doesn't seem to add up. Mm-hmm. And I want to know the answer, but no one's ever going to tell you. Or they'll come out in classified files in like 50 years' time.
Or nobody really knows is the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so fucking baffling that it doesn't make sense to normal people. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of films where the CIA get involved in shit and then they forget who they're supporting. And stuff.
Yeah.
And like, basically we can trust everything in movies. As I said, Jurassic Park. Case closed.
Human park.
Yeah. Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. We don't deserve a park like that. We're not as charismatic as a stegosaurus.
You can't just dangle memes in the air. They want to make them themselves. Oh, God. I hate people. But I love you, Fife fans.
That sounds so. You can't just pretend that you like our fans, but clearly we're all feeling very jaded by the world today and actually hate everybody.
It's true. It is true. But you know who must be feeling really jaded at the moment in time? Are the guys that went out for a week camping trip at Loch Leven.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. This is actually one of my favourite news stories I've read in a long time. So I do an occasional, like... We take it in turns at my work to do a local press roundup, and that involves reading the Courier. And I don't know, the Courier is a great paper. I'm not going to slag it off because they sometimes print our articles. But I was flicking through the Courier on Tuesday, was it? And saw this, and then went to find the online version and thought, I have to share this. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It's a pretty good story. Basically, a couple of guys and their kids.
Three guys and three children.
Yeah.
Three men, like, in their 40s.
Yeah.
Who are all
lecturers and professors and stuff like that as well. Decided to go on a wee camping trip out onto one of the islands in Loch Leven to basically set up camp, have a nice time, listen to some heavy metal.
That is the weird bit of the whole story.
Well, so the headline was... heavy metal camping trip.
Yeah.
Heavy metal camping trip. Like, that's a genre of camping trip.
And it also makes you think of, like, I don't know, guys going out to properly party and listen to loud heavy metal and get really drunk and take drugs.
But they
just a good time, a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Headbang away. Yeah. Drugs in your face. Throw your hair around and stuff.
But actually, they
were there to look after their children.
Yeah.
But the heavy metal camping trip went a bit wrong when some random member of the public...
some anonymous shit stirrer.
Who I really hope has been done for wasting police time, phoned the police up and said that they'd seen a group of men... who made a suicide pact heading out to this island to kill themselves and their children, apparently, as well. Like, and then, how many boats and helicopters cars?
There was helicopters, there was cars. I think the number that I heard being bandied about was about £120,000 worth of time and equipment was sent along.
To the island to rescue them.
And these guys were on the island, suddenly saw a whole load of commotion going on, thinking, what's going on over there? And then found that they were coming towards them and closer and helicopters flying overhead. And they're just like, basically, I think one of them said, it felt like something from the X-Files. I can imagine that would. You would be freaked out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You've gone for a nice wee camp and you're with a family and having a few beers. You've had some food and just getting ready to settle down for the night.
Sausages are just digesting nicely.
And suddenly the sky lights up. The banks of the lochs filled with blues and reds. Yeah. It's amazing. It's just like... it's amazing that they went on that. They panned the window of the
car
because they were looking for a suicide note.
Well, this is what I don't understand. My two favourite things about the story is, one, that heavy metal camping is a thing, apparently. People go... I think the wording was that they used, like, we like to go away with our kids, listen to heavy music and drink beer.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Okay, so one, the fact that heavy metal camping is a thing. But two, like...
it was a big teepee as well.
Yeah, but like, what the fuck did that member of the public say to the police to convince them to go to that level of effort?
But what did they think?
This is why I wanted to talk about this, because this brings us on to what I thought was done and dusted, but apparently persecution of goths and metalers is still alive and kicking in Scotland today. And when people see somebody who's a little bit goth, to be fair...
I'm wearing a little bit black.
To be fair, I did see the photos before they went away. One of the children did have a black velvet cape on and her face painted completely white. But it's like, when people see that, they automatically... and they see people getting in a boat, they automatically assume that they're going to kill themselves. I can't believe that in 2018, people still think that way.
No, I just think they're probably not the person who wants to get stuck next to a barbecue. Like, just for awkward chat's sake. But
the person who made the complaint? What, yeah, or the goth?
Both of them. Frankly, everyone. No, actually, the person that made the complaint is absolutely a hero. The sheer level of absolute shit-stirring wonder that has come out with this.
To know that you were the cause of all that furore.
No, I was not the cause of that, but I would bloody well like to. Would have been easier if it was like, if they'd gone out camping and were listening to Mark Bolan music or something, or like just T-Rex, because glamping. Glamping.
Oh, wow.
Now, the execution of the joke was terrible. That's not where I'm at. I ran that through in my head before as well, before I said it.
That was... But yeah, so maybe, like, you don't really see many full-on goths and metalers these days, and it made me start to wonder, like, do these subcultures still exist? Are they such a minority that when people see them in the street, they automatically think, oh,
they're going to go kill themselves.
Yeah, I need to phone the police about these scary
they
people.
They don't have phones in their hands. Yeah. They're not memming it up big time. They must be going to kill themselves.
Like, when did you last see a pack of goths hanging out on the street? A
pack of goths?
Yeah. Like, the collective noun.
Yeah, it is. The collective noun for goths, pack of goths. Like, you don't see it anymore, do you?
You don't think it could be like a fright of goths or something like that? Like,
or a depression of goths.
Possibly.
That'd be good. Or like, or what's the collective name for bat? I guess that's the nearest, like... See, I'm persecuting goths here. I'm making really stupid assumptions about goths, and they're just normal people like you and I.
But I think the reason we've not seen a lot of them is, like, the places we used to hang out when we were teenagers have seen that you used to have all been, like, gentrified.
Yeah, massively.
So, like,
yeah,
the sheer gentrification of Coburn Street.
I was just going to say, yeah. Coburn Street was always where the goths at the top of the
steps. Where'd you go to sit mopey now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Maybe... this is...
Because you just get sweeped off the steps now.
Do these subcultures not exist anymore? Or...
So they've just gone online.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
Do they not exist?
They've gone online and become more dangerous.
Oh, in the dark web. Yeah, or on Reddit. Or on Reddit. Yeah. But then, so, like, when we were younger, subcultures very much got their identity.
Actually, that is exactly where they are, because it's subreddits.
That is where subcultures gone, is Reddit.
I don't understand Reddit.
But I don't understand. But the thing is, like, so subcultures got their identity from hanging out on Coburn Street and going to the shops. So, like, you would go to
Whiplash Trash to buy a bomb. Yeah.
And Flip and Cull and all that stuff. And, you know, and you would see people and you would, like, share, like, there was, like, an exchange of cultures there. Yeah. And that's how you got your identity. And you're, like, buy the same music and Avalanche and all this kind of stuff. And it's like now, but how does that work on the internet? I sound so old.
You sound like the senators that have been grilling Mark Zuckerberg all week.
Yeah, but like, is there? But there's just so much possible variety, and are there like endless subcultures now that you can be part of?
Maybe it is that there's now like, just and again you don't
can be in the
you
tiniest
need to,
minority,
and you
possible.
Don't need to hang about physically or mope about on steps. Now you just sit on your phone or your laptop or your tablet, because what's a PC? Fucking Apple ads.
I've not seen that advert clearly. I just riled them.
Oh, don't. But yeah, they're all now just sitting in their bedrooms or on the couches, not talking to their parents. And yeah,
when did they like get off with each other, or like
they're actually like pandas now,
are they?
Yeah.
Young people not having sex or drinking or consuming drugs
together
anymore.
If you think about, like, a lot of people in our age group, I mean, how many are waiting until they're older or are older or have been older before they've had kids or haven't had at all? So I mean, if that's us, think about the next.
So is the next generation going to be like, all of a sudden there'll be like loads of 35-year-olds like reforming Tower House and going and having band nights and getting off with each other.
And eating lots of bamboo.
Yeah. But also, like, actually, there's a certain level of that's actually happened in Japanese culture as well.
Mm.
Like, again, it's like they're usually early tech adopters and things like that. Like, often it's like there's a really... Like, again, we have a really hard work culture and things like that now that they've always had kind of thing as well. There's like, they're genuinely, the Japanese government has been actually alarmed at the level at which people have sex in Japan, because they're just not having enough sex anymore.
Yeah.
The population's getting really old. So is that possibly just actually, were they just first and like, we're sort of catching
up with it?
Yeah.
And they have an immense array of subcultures in Japan, don't they? Oh, yeah. Harajuku. All that
anything, anime, and everything.
What's it called?
Anime, manga, and
the people dress up and things.
Cosplay.
Yeah. That came from Japan, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's sort of a mix between Japan and America. The sort of,
but it really did blow up, like in Japan.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you want to dress like Pikachu? Fucking right.
Yeah,
bang on, pal. Just crack
Do
on.
It. Yeah. it's now a massive industry as well. So
I still think, I know that this is me being older, I still think it's sad that kids don't go and hang out on steps looking mopey anymore, getting off with each other around the back of libraries.
Well,
and
you still, you've got hipsters these days. But then
they actually sit on steps because they've seen people sit on steps.
Yeah.
In a Brooklyn-based movie where they sit there with their laptop and their rolly fan.
Yeah, uh-huh. And hipsters are older. Hipsters are like 20s. Yeah. Or 40s. Yeah. You don't get teenage hipsters, really, do you?
Well, I don't know.
Unless they're on the internet as well.
We should ask our resident hipster, Beatty. He'll be able to tell us.
He's just got a comb over, mate. He's not a hipster.
He's got quite tight bottoms on these days as well.
We should ask our teenage listeners, because I'm sure we have lots of teenage listeners out there. What is it like being a member of a teenage subculture these days?
Lots of teenage listeners.
Yeah.
I'm sure we do. It's not just us shouting into the wind.
And if we could send it on the back of a self-addressed postcard to our PO box. Fans of Fife Club.
It's called Analog Bitches.
I really hope that the people are not the heavy metal campers are not put off coming back to Fife for some heavy metal camping anytime soon.
No, actually,
I should point out that this
technically it isn't
place,
Fife.
It took place just up the road from us, but it's Perth and Kinross.
Yeah,
so
it's the wrong side of the law.
It is. They're like literally as soon as you cross into Perth and Kinross, they're all rich old people, and they would never have seen. They would not have understood at all what heavy metal camping was. No. So
where's the tweed?
Heavy metal. I don't see lead.
Yeah. I mean, either way, Perth and Kinross, Fife, whatever side they're on, I mean, realistically, I bet they're all regretting. Oh, God, I was actually going on a walk to a joke, and I've forgotten. Bet they regret leaving home. Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. This is where I'm at.
Lovely. What else were we going to talk about?
We were going to do... in the apocalypse stuff, talk about where we were going to hide.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of missed that.
We kind of skipped over it. Yeah. But we could go back there. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's mess with our listeners this week.
In a callback to last week's show.
Yeah.
Lemmy's excellent new show.
Yeah. It was really, really good. And if you've not seen it, it's on iPlayer. Get watching it.
Is it just a one-off?
It's almost like a pilot. Basically.
Yeah, because we got really excited and thought, oh, there'll be another episode on, and there's not.
No, it's essentially a pilot. So it all started off with him looking to do it as a like a Patreon, mm-hmm. and he was just going to do it online because mm-hmm. he'd pitched two different shows to the BBC and one to Sky or somebody else, and they got knocked back.
Was one of them?
Well, one of them was sitcom.
Was one of them a sitcom? Yeah. Was the other one reading out the full Rivers of Blood speech in its entirety?
Because then
and
he would have got
that.
It.
They stole that and decided, no, Lemmy's not racist enough to do that. We've got to get an actual
racist
to read out, you know, Powell's Rivers of Blood speech. But anyway,
why?
On you go.
Why? Anyway, it's just one-off. It started off as a Patreon. He was starting to collect money for it, but then basically the Beeb got interested because he was going to make a show himself and it was going to cost them fuck nothing. Yeah. They ordered it as a pilot, so he made it. And
I got the feeling that he'd gone to them and asked them for a pilot, and they were like, "Well, Lemmy, we don't have any money, but if you make the whole thing yourself and submit it to us, we'll show it." And he went out and did, and then they were like, "Oh shit, we've got to actually show this."
Nah, I think it was more about how that he does all that stuff for free. Online through mm-hmm. Twitter and Vine, he's, you know, it's all been free. And I think the idea was, actually, I want to make a bit of money out of it. And I think there's mm-hmm. enough people. And there was. People were like, mm-hmm. yeah, we'd pay £1 for a video or £1 an mm-hmm. episode or £2 an episode. Or, you know, if we were to pay so many pounds a month, we would get extras. You know, he said that he would give wee bits of extras and chats and stuff like that. So it sounded like a kind of a cool idea. But yeah, the Beeb kind of came along and offered them. So he took that, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably because it would be a guaranteed sum of money from mm-hmm. them to do it. I can totally understand why he would as well. Hopefully it's been popular enough and they've had enough.
Well, they're promoting it pretty hard. Like, yeah, if you watch something on iPlayer at the moment, I don't know if it's just because we're in Scotland and the right age demographic or whatever, but mm-hmm. everything I watch on iPlayer is coming with a
Limmy trailer. And I normally skip the trailer straight away, but I watch it every time.
Yeah.
It's the
one, two, buckle my shoe, 3, 4. Yeah, just.
So I've not seen this now, but apparently, like, folk are starting to play that in nightclubs.
Apparently, from. So it was on the Thursday night. Apparently, on the Friday night, there was people in like bars and stuff who would just suddenly hear crowds going 1, 2 buckle my shoe. Just like brilliant. From one episode he's instantly created tons of memes, you know, and that's kind of what he does.
So come on, BBC best, commissioner series.
But anyway, one of the sketches was all about Kelvin Grove
Art Gallery and Museum.
And basically,
do you know an interesting fact? Well, you might have told me this fact. It was actually built the wrong way around.
Oh, I didn't tell you that fact, but I did know that. Yeah. Well, it wasn't that it was built the wrong way around. It was that it was built for a great exhibition in 1901, which was centered on the Kelvin Grove Park. And so for the exhibition, almost everybody would have approached it from the park. So it faces that way. But now the majority of people approach it from Argyle Street? Yeah. Behind it.
Or is it the tail end of Sockey Hall? It's probably Argyle.
I think they join just before. And anyway, but right, so most people get to it from the road. But it's kind of double fronted anyway.
Yeah.
And just in fact, number two, before they built that for the previous great exhibition in 1888, I think it was, there was a similar building on that site made out of cardboard. It was a temporary structure. They made this massive big palace out of cardboard and wood. And it was a great success. And they raised enough money from that exhibition to build the permanent.
So the permanent one. Anyway. But yeah, so the whole thing about the sketch was, if things kick off, where do you go?
Yeah.
Lemmy's going to Kelvin Grove because it's got weapons and stuff. Yeah. So
if the oncoming apocalypse comes, it all kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
Kelvin Grove Art Gallery Museum.
Where are we going?
We're not getting to Kelvin Grove from here, are we?
No.
Well, also, you might have to like fight off Limmy with a giant sword.
Yeah, he looked quite stabby.
Be the overlord. It gets a bit dark, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm going first because there's only one very obvious place, which you kind of already referenced in the opening. But if you're in Fife and the apocalypse hits, you have to go to the not-so-secret-secret bunker. Like, the not-so-secret-secret bunker is... There are going to be people queuing up to get in there when the apocalypse happens. It's a fucking nuclear bunker in the middle of Fife that has, like, fake telephones in it and a war room set up like it's the 1980s and beds. And it's got lots of tins of food and things in there, which I'm not sure if they're display or not, but I would be hopeful that some of them would have some edible food in it.
And they've probably been there since the 80s anyway, so...
But it's tin food, it doesn't go off.
Well.
I remember going to the secret bunker when I was about 8 or 9 with my mum and being genuinely terrified.
Yeah. Like, I remember the first time going, it being that sort of like, oh, this is kind of cool, but at the same time,
it's got the vibe of an underground mental hospital.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
And I went with my mum. My mum has always told me, she always told me that, oh, growing up in the 70s, you know, you think that nuclear war is all fun these days. I never thought that. I don't know where she got that. She's like, oh, it's all the Cold War and nuclear war, it's all fun, but we thought it was real. And we grew up every day thinking there was going to be a nuclear bomb over our heads. And so we were walking around this. So for listeners who have been to the secret bunker, don't know what it is, it's basically this tourist attraction, like you would want to take children there, but apparently it's a fun tourist attraction. And it's a field in the middle of Fife, up near Cooper. And in the middle of this field, there's just one house. It just looks like a small farmhouse. And you go in it, and then there's like a big, massive, like mile-long tunnel or something. I don't know if it's quite a mile, but there's like a really long tunnel that goes down and down and down into the ground.
And it ends up being 100 metres underground, is it?
100 metres underground, but the tunnel's longer because it kind of takes you back and forth. It's like hairpins and stuff. And you're down, and it was one of about 4 or something nuclear bunkers around the UK, which up until the late 80s was the official nuclear bunker for the government.
Yep.
And if there had been... a nuclear war, that's one of the locations where the government might have been sent.
Yep.
And so it's all still set up. This is why you should go there. and it's all set up, ready to go for if there had been one in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree. It is well set up. I mean, for like pop culture fans out there, it's basically like a shit version of the Umbrella Corporation from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
It's like instead of a mansion, it's a bit of a farmhouse. And instead of it being a massive underground lab, it's just basically like an underground mental hospital. So, yeah, not very good. Or like the Severnaya bunker from GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah.
As well, possibly.
But I mean, it essentially was a mental hospital because you, like, when you were going down there, you weren't coming back out again. This is what terrified me. I remember thinking, like, how long could they stay down here? When would they come back out again? And there's all this information as well about nuclear war, which is basically like, if the bomb drops, everyone's going to die anyway, and everything's going to be poisoned for thousands of years. So you knew, like, when you were going down to that bunker, you weren't coming back out again. So you would go fucking mental, wouldn't you?
Well, I just wonder how long it would take to resort to cannibalism. In
Oh.
And you either
who would you eat first?
Melty face outside or eat someone's face inside. Cool.
great.
This chat's not uplifting me tonight, guys.
Well, listen, like, but I would say the one thing about that bunker is if that food isn't real and you have to somehow go outside and, like, basically forage for food, then the nearest town is like Cooper and, Cooper and St. Andrews, and realistically, is there going to be enough food in artisan bakeries to sustain you? Or do you actually need a giant Tesco superstore?
Well, this was my second thought, though, is that there's quite a lot of pick-your-own farms. So if it was a non-nuclear apocalypse, if it was a nuclear apocalypse, you wouldn't want to be going out and going to, like, Kearney Fruit Farm.
No.
But if it was just the world had gone a bit mental and there were... but it was safe to go outside. There are lots of pick your own opportunities around about there. And you would, in the summer, you would have an endless supply of strawberries if you wanted to go on some kind of like weird vegan mono diet that just involves strawberries.
Vegan mono.
There's also nearby the massive Quaker oats plant.
That's true, yeah.
So, and you get some water from a burn, go and empty the silo. You'd be fucking sorry. You can live off porridge. Like, you could totally just turn one of the massive.
The deer farms up there as well.
Oh, and the deer farm.
Yeah.
Where you go and look at all the cute deer, and then as you leave, they try to sell you some dead deer. That part of I'm so fucked up. Yep. Yeah, actually, I think you would do pretty well for food up there.
All right, okay, no, fair enough.
Yeah, if it's nuclear though, you're fucked.
Oh yeah, totally.
You're eating people.
But we're all fucked, no matter where you're going. If it's nuclear,
toenails, hair, and then people.
I didn't really think in very practical terms about this.
What?
I just thought in terms of Kelvin Grove Museum, and I was like, well, I don't really predict, like, the dinosaur bones and shit are all right. And the Spitfire thing on the roof.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool and stuff like that.
The organ's pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, there's some decent stuff in there, but it's not my favorite museum. Mm-hmm. If I was going to get trapped in some kind of museum or something like that, the Modern Art Gallery in Edinburgh.
Ah. Hang on, I thought we were talking about we were picking places in Fife.
Yeah, places you could... Well, mind you, you might be able to get to the Modern Art Gallery from here.
Oh, well, I didn't realise it was in Fife. Yeah. But I'm going to maintain this as well.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to go for it because, as you know, I'm a man who enjoys collecting a little bit of art. And my favourite bit of art in the entire world is sitting in that gallery. It's the giant Eduardo Palazzi robot.
He's awesome.
Yeah, sculpture called Vulcan,
yeah.
Which is just... fucking amazing. If I'm going to sit out a giant apocalypse, I'm going to sit it out on the shoulders of a giant metal robot so that anybody who comes near me thinks that I can control the giant robot and basically that I'm the overlord of the area.
It's also got a really good cafe place.
It's very expensive.
It's posh, but I've enjoyed it. But you're in there, you're raiding the fridges.
I had some poppy seed and rosemary flavoured loaf thing. Oh. And that was a bit shit. That was a bit
that's
healthy.
That's not what you want during the apocalypse at all. No.
And also, the other thing I really love about it is it's got, on the other side of the road, there's that like weird grassy mound thing.
Yeah.
So you could run do laps of that, just keep yourself fit while the zombies are struggling around. They won't be able to get up that verge. So you'll still be able to have like an outdoor exercise area. And they've got like these lovely signs as well, which are just like little vector drawings of animals.
Yeah.
Where you could go park the car as well.
Is it there or is it across the road that Modern 2 that has the big sign which says there is no hope?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's that one.
I love that one. That is just quite a good that's sentence. Everything.
And like exactly, that's the perfect backdrop. Standing on a giant metal robot next to that sign watching the apocalypse. Like, honestly, it's pretty fucking perfect.
It is. I quite like that as a place to go. And I think we could get there maybe if you had a car and there was nobody else on the roads.
There's the fourth crossing public transport corridor now, which you can just walk over without need for a car.
You could, but you would have to dodge the zombies.
Yeah.
Would they also use the public transport corridor?
Possibly. I don't know.
although
they probably wouldn't drive at 70 miles an hour over the bridge, which you now can drive 70 miles an hour over the bridge, you fucking people who drive at 40 or 50, because it's fucking 70 now, you absolute cretins.
We noticed this the other day and it's like, is it just that people are so conditioned that they don't get it at all?
They're still looking at the bridge thinking, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, 50 miles an hour. Yeah. No, wake up, sheeple. 70 miles an hour. And if I have to sit behind you and you're fucking people carrier going 40 miles an hour, then there's going to be an apocalypse in your fucking van. Anyway, sorry. Just
you all right? Fair enough. Well, I mean, I was going to take it even more local than that, and basically, I'm going to go to, again, on the sort of the gallery front, I'm going to go to Dunfermline's new museum and library.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in there recently, so yeah. I would like to go somewhere a bit different.
Well, I think that reading room's probably going to be quite bomb-proof. It's quite quiet. Seems kind of though it could hold its own. But also...
There's a loom?
There's a loom. So,
it is, yeah.
So we can make linen for the people that are now needing clothing. You know, we can have control of that and exchange it for goods and food.
I would totally
and services.
Wear the wedding dress that's made out of the silk that made the Queen's wedding dress. And first thing I do is smash that. I'm like, I'm fucking pitting you on. Don't care if it's the apocalypse. I'm going to walk around in a really expensive, rare wedding dress.
I'd also get the baffies from Dunfermline's giant. I've forgotten his name. They've got. They've got his baffies in there. They took them from the Pick and Creef house.
I've not seen them. Where the place are they?
They're in one of the cabinets downstairs. They have a wee bit about him. I would take his giant baffies and run around like a...
You also got the skids playing on loop on the little entertainment bit, so that would kind of...
And
the big
there's also that lovely 1950s kitchen, so, you know, we can at least cook food.
A massive collection of Jilly Cooper and Clive Cookson novels.
Well, yeah, you've got a lot of books in there.
Audio books as well.
Yeah.
With the reference library, which probably went out of date in about 1972.
Yeah, there's not really... Well, that's now the reading room. Like, have you been in?
I don't think I've been in since it was redone.
You not been in since it's been... You've not been in the new building bit?
No. You have. You came in.
I went briefly in the front door.
Okay,
couch.
Yeah. I know, because the reading room is what used to be the... the reference library isn't there anymore. Yeah. That's what used to be the reference library is a function room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the reading room is now kind of the reference library. And there's
like
still stuff there, but a lot of it's... most of it's kind of away in a vault now. Like, you can request stuff.
Yeah.
And there's like a little like... airtight room that you have to like put the white gloves in and like flick through all the documentation and stuff like that. Fucking shitloads of maps that would keep me entertained for so long going through the map collection.
I've got to say I'm quite a big fan of the reading room. I quite like going in there and doing some podcasty work on it whenever I've got a chance. It's nice and quiet and just peaceful.
I've got two complaints. I really like it and I go and work there sometimes. First of all, it is nice and quite peaceful, apart from, and I'm just going to say this, it's
when
very rude.
It.
No, this is very rude, but it's true. And someone needs to point this out to her, and I hope she's listening. There's a woman who works behind the desk sometimes who has really loud conversations on the phone. And but she moans at people and tells people to be quiet, but then she has a really loud conversation. I once heard her, somebody in the library was getting a disciplinary, and she was the union rep, and she was discussing in great detail on the phone, very loudly, about this disciplinary and about how she had to be there because she was the union rep.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. Secondly, they also, I think the same woman has left me passive-aggressive notes on more than one occasion
with the rules of the reading room, with when I've gone out to go to the toilet or whatever, you know, I have a water bottle. It's got a screw top lid on it. I drink a lot of water. If I'm in there working, sometimes I'll open up and I'll take a sip and I'll put the lid back on again and I'll put it down on the floor and then I'll go to the toilet and I'll come back and there'll be a note with the rules of the reading room and the bit about not having any drink or food is circled for my thing. And then there's nobody there. And honestly, pisses me off so much. I'm going to actually start a row with her one time.
I take a Brady and I need to...
Yeah, you took a Brady in the reading room.
Yeah, I'm a rebel.
Did you not get a passive aggressive
note? And I also take a bottle of water in because it's mental to think that you're going to be in there for... Mm-hmm. The whole idea is so you can go in and do some work.
Yes.
And that you could be in there for 2, 3 hours, 4 hours and not have a drink.
No.
Or you have to get up and leave all your stuff or... Pack up all your stuff.
Just go and have a glass of water. I know, it's bullshit.
It's nonsense.
So I would join you there in the apocalypse, as long as that woman's not there.
And now it's back to BBC Radio 4, where we go to the desert island of Dix.
And we're back on the island. Again. Is that not racially insensitive?
My seagull's noise.
All right, I thought you were, you were doing wagwan.
No! I can't believe you thought that. It's pretty seagulls. Like, when you listen to Desert Island Discs, they have seagulls over the music. And I was doing the seagulls.
Yeah, and that's because I cannot be dicked trying to edit seagulls in. Well,
I've just given you seagull noises to put over the top of the music there, so you, I made your editing a lot easier now.
Seagulls.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we're on the island. How did we get there here this time?
Hot air balloon.
Wow. What went wrong?
No idea. We were just having a lovely day out. Right? Just a nice day out on the hot air balloon.
We didn't have anybody that could fly it, did we?
We've got a friend that's a pilot.
I remember
But was he with us?
Probably not. No.
Lizzie tells a story about the time you guys went hot air ballooning. And there was no hot air balloon involved. And she slept in a car outside the youth hostel.
Yeah, and I think Chris slept in her. Maybe.
Probably.
What, the car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you name the car is always a female.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like ships.
Yeah,
of course.
So, cool.
Is it? It's not that kind of hot air balloon, and I would just like to clarify.
So we're in a hot air balloon. Wow, we've gone by air this time.
Well, actually, we've taken a special hot air balloon because it's a really special day on the island.
Oh, yeah, that's
yes!
true.
Yes!
It is. Because... Some good news.
It is.
This is the real reason why Jamie's not here tonight, or Dave.
Yeah.
Because they're away on their honeymoon.
Yep.
Yeah, they got married.
Yeah, I mean, it's lovely. I think this has been like the will they, won't they. Basically, Fife Club's answer to Ross and Rachel. You know, they spend a couple of nights a week rolling around on a mat together. And eventually, you know, one thing leads to another. And
one thing pops into another.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very much. A new submission move, whatever. But yeah, they were rolling around the other day. And, you know, Jamie flipped Dave over. Dave turned around and Jamie was there on one knee with a diamond ring. Not a diamond ring, like a Coke can. Ring pool thing. Sort of thing.
A Haribo ring.
Yeah. And then Dave said yes. Yeah. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's just as though we had that referendum the other week where we voted like, I had to do the math. Basically, everybody voted for same-sex marriage apart from Kutch because he is, what's the word you hate? Homophobic, that's it.
Oh, great,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I voted yes to the gay referendum.
Well, somebody, because I did counted the votes, and there were what, six. So only 5 people voted in favour in the gay marriage referendum and somebody voted against it and I assumed it was Kutch.
It was probably Dave.
Was it Dave? Was it Dave's final attempt to get out of it? Have to marry Jamie?
But yeah, so they have they been married? They're getting married. What are we doing? I can't remember.
Yeah, they're on their honeymoon. They've been married.
They've been married, right.
Okay. We're talking about the wedding that happened the other day.
On our fictional island.
On our fictional island.
With a fictional wedding.
Freddy Krueger did the ceremony, and let me just tell you, it was beautiful.
he also did the canopies.
He did, yeah. The only problem was that moment when he himself got very emotional and tried to wipe the tear off his eye. Sliced his eyeball open.
I do have to say, I really like the crackling that came from Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
Like, he did some really good crackling on that pig that he had going.
Yeah, no, it was excellent, paired with a lovely Chianti as well.
Yeah.
Why does he only like one type of wine, though? Like, there was people complaining that there wasn't enough white wine options, but no, just Chianti.
Although I've never seen a pig that, you know, like, stood on two legs before. I mean...
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But... told me it was a pig, so...
Yeah, no, and it was lovely. Pulled human. So, in honour of Dave's and Jamie's beautiful day, a little bit of sort of controversy, and this relates back to the forthcoming royal wedding, which I'm sure we're all excited about. Kutch, are you ecstatic about the prospect of another royal wedding?
I suppose...
Yep, so, absolutely.
I was working in a call centre when the last royal wedding happened. I don't know if you had this. Did you get the day off? Well, that's the thing. Because there was a big hoo-ha at the time we talk about... Oh, no, they made it a public holiday, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a public holiday. Well, I worked in a fundraising call centre where they loved us all to work on public holidays. People were in and you could phone them up and ask them for money. But people got so offended by being called on the day of the royal wedding. They went, don't you realise what a special day this is? Because we're all phoning people in England.
We went to a wedding party and I got smashed.
You went to... Who had a wedding party?
Friends of ours.
Oh, God. What's up with royal wedding
party? But it was really just an excuse to go and get smashed.
Like any wedding party. Yeah. Really. Aye. So there was... But we were chatting about there's some quite notable exceptions. They've just released the guest list, haven't they, to the next royal wedding?
Yes.
And there are some notable non-invites.
Yes. And that includes Trump.
Yep.
Theresa May.
And Jeremy Corbyn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say to them, in all honesty, if I were them, those three people wouldn't be on my my invite list either. Could you imagine being stuck there that little bit after you've had dinner and the evening guests are arriving and you're stuck there with a gin and tonic next to Theresa May trying to make some small talk?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pretty dark. Actually, I don't think Jeremy Corbyn would be a particular small talker either. Probably just keep boring the tits off you about Syria or something like that.
Well... I don't think are there any heads of states going, any political guests? Because they're not like this, you know, he's like, 20th in line to the throne or something now. Like, he's really not like, he's a pretty minor royal.
Which I think is why he's getting away with.
With not inviting these people. Yeah. Anyway, but we also had a similar controversy, didn't we, about who to invite and who not to invite to the Desert Island Dick's wedding.
We did, yeah. We were touch and go on the... Honey Badger.
Yeah, but eventually he delivered the ring up the aisle. And that was lovely.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, you all know, we've already had a discussion about if I had any say, everyone would be invited apart from Beaker. I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind Michael Beattie that I did not get an invite to his wedding, and neither did Lizzie.
Reception. You got to the reception.
We got to the reception. We did not get an invite to the day wedding, and the day wedding is the best bit because you get all the food. So, yeah, so that still hurts. And he's totally not invited to when I don't get married. Or Jamie and Dave's imaginary wedding either.
So, like, we were trying to work out who we wouldn't invite to a wedding. But YouGov actually produced something the other day, which is actually going to help us do this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because they produced their list of the world's most admired people in 2018. So we thought, rather than us come up with thinking of content in any way in advance... What we would do was cheat by taking a ready-made list and just trying to decide whether they are, in the old style of chewing the fat, whether they're good guys or wanks. So I'm just going to take a couple of the most admired men and most admired women in 2018, and I'm just going to take a wee selection of them and say who we'd want.
Yeah.
So in terms of the political men, so I'll group them. So we have Barack Obama, Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, and Recep Erdogan.
Oh, wow.
So can we invite all of them, or are we only allowed to invite one of them?
No, I think you could just say whether you want them or you don't want them.
Because for sheer entertainment value, I'm going to invite all of them. And sit them at the same table. Yeah. Like group the tables according to who's...
Oh, sorry. Trump's on there as well.
Oh, yeah, Trump's on there as well. Yeah,
then that. Definitely all of them at one table. That's going to be entertaining. It's basically going to be like a G7 or something like that.
Does our island have a little islet just off the coast of it? Could we put them on a table on a separate island and watch from afar as like it goes up in nuclear smoke?
That sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like Barack Obama's getting invited to this royal wedding.
Yeah.
Because him and Harry are like pals.
Best pals.
He's like, he's going to be who doesn't like Barack Obama? Really?
I know.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get invited to every wedding that ever gets held for the rest of his life.
People that were murdered by drones.
That's where I was about to go.
By what, sorry?
People that were murdered by drone strikes.
Yeah. Okay. Don't think they're too fond of him.
Yeah, well, they're not really around to dislike him anymore.
But you would like him to do a toast, though, wouldn't you? Like, Barack Obama's a lovely public.
He would do. Like, his speeches at the press dinner thing that they used to do, they'd do a toast and were always brilliant.
Yeah. What, only president to drop a mic?
Literally dropped a mic. Now I think he would definitely, he's definitely in there. The ones I'm a little bit suspicious about, Recep Erdogan. Not a big fan.
No. I think he'd make us all wear headscarves, wouldn't he?
No, he's not. He's not religious.
Are they not trying to, like, I thought the Turkey was trying to re-Islamify after years of, he's done away with the disassociation, like, between the state and the church. Like, he's definitely, relaxed that, because the constitution of Turkey was really fiercely,
secular.
Secular, yes. Yeah. And he's, like, loosened the ties on that and has given, like, the church greater power.
In the way that might give him some kind of additional power base.
Mm.
Pretty pragmatically done. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not on my list. Trump's definitely not on us because he's just a cunt. Putin for the japes.
Putin and Obama.
Putin might help tame the honey badger. If anyone's going to tame the honey badger,
true.
It would be Putin.
He'll do it naked.
Yeah.
Or at least... You know, bare chested.
But he's going to just sit there after a couple of beers and it's going to be like, I'm just sick of hearing about judo. In fairness, we could put Jamie would be all right with that. Yeah. Jamie and him could have a good chat about judo.
That's it. So I think that's why he's there, isn't it? Is to maybe even he could like be some kind of master of ceremonies and wrestle the grooms up to the. I'm sure they would love that.
Okay. So we're going Obama and Putin, but none of the others.
We have philanthropists on the list as well.
Okay.
Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
What's Warren Buffett actually giving his money away? I thought Warren Buffett went to jail for embezzlement, did he not? Am I thinking of someone else?
Yeah, you're definitely thinking of someone else.
Oh, who am I thinking of then?
Warren Buffett was part of that group of billionaires that said that they would give away tons of their fortune. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, Bill Gates kind of set the path for doing it. And Warren Buffett's like, that's actually quite a good idea, Bill. Yeah. I'll crack on with that as well.
I think we should invite neither of those because I think they'll try and develop the island. Like, I think they'll force a capitalist economy on us and give us all this money to build toilets and stuff. I'm like, guys, we are happy shitting in a trench.
But in fairness, if Bill's going to bring along some malaria nets, I think I'd take some.
Yeah, I would take some. I would take some vaccinations and some malaria nets.
Yeah,
I think that's probably all right.
But does he give away that kind of aid? I thought it was just the kind of aid that ties you into endless debt for the rest of your life. And
No, not at all.
No,
he absolutely supports global vaccination projects.
Yeah. Okay,
$1 billion. Is it $1 billion a year or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
And
he tries to do loads of work with Big Pharma as well to reduce the cost.
Reduce prices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Find out ways how to do that.
Okay, so Bill Gates is coming, but he's got to bring a vaccination unit with him so he can vaccinate us all at the wedding.
Yep,
okay.
That's good.
Right.
Sort of religious leaders. We've got the Dalai Lama.
Oh, he'd be a fucking pain in the arse.
And Pope Francis. Well, the Dalai Lama does have a pretty restrictive diet.
Yeah.
on one hand, it's like vegetarian dish. Oh, yeah.
He'll be on the puff pastry.
veggie pastry. Filo pastry parcel.
Yeah, that's
always a filo pastry parcel at a wedding if you ask for vegetarian food.
Yeah, at Christmas, it's a nut roast.
It was at ours.
Yeah. Lizzie said that your filo pastry parcel was the best filo pastry parcel she'd ever had, though.
Still nowhere near as good as the crackling on the pig we had.
Oh.
It was definitely a pig.
Right, so...
But there was another good thing about the Dalai Lama. He came to Dunfermline.
Oh, he did, that's true.
When was that?
Maybe about 10 years ago, 12 years ago?
We were somewhere between the ages of 15 and 20, I would guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't think I was around.
No, he came to the Glen. Came to the Glen, yep. So did the Queen, or was the Queen with him?
Yeah, we can't remember that.
We were stoned.
Allegedly. So yeah, right. I'm all right. And like, of all the popes that have been around, Pope Francis is definitely the coolest of the
popes. Pope Francis, just... I think Pope Francis would be way more chat than the Dalai Lama. Like, if I was going to get sat next to one of them at the wedding, you could have a laugh with Pope Francis, I think.
But the Dalai Lama does giggle a lot.
Yeah,
but and sometimes
in that really annoying way, like people who laugh at things that aren't funny.
Yeah, he doesn't get a normal joke, but he would laugh at something that's just like, what are you laughing for?
You couldn't have any pop culture references with the Dalai Lama, whereas I think Pope would get some of that. Like, I think Pope. I mean, we can have them both if you like. I'm not sure they'd both be available on the same day.
I'm just trying to think what pop culture references would Pope Francis be getting?
Well, or more just like historical. Like, wasn't Pope Francis like part of the liberation? Well, sort of the emergent liberation theology movement in South America, and like you could chat to him about like
he was never in the SS.
I think Pope Francis was like a little bit of Manu Chao.
Mixing up your South American and your Central American.
Maybe you could, like, I'm sure he's got a Che Guevara t-shirt stuffed away somewhere. Like, I think basically if you had a cousin who'd just come back from backpacking around South America, you could put him next to the Pope at the same table and they would chat away for hours.
Oh, they would definitely hit it off. Yeah.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So some other quick ones, and we'll just do this very quickly. So David Beckham.
Oh, fuck no.
He's just thick, isn't he?
Like, yeah, why?
What possible contribution would he have to
And he
bring
would bring a
wedding?
Fucking bottle of Hague Club, and nobody wants
no.
Hague Club.
No one wants Hague Club. It's the name for an aftershave.
It is. It looks like aftershave.
Until recently thought it was an aftershave, because the advert looks like it. So, no, he's not coming.
No.
Okay, so we have got... Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is apparently the third most most admired man in 2018.
The third most admired.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'd have Jackie Chan there.
I have to say, unless there is some story that I don't know about Jackie Chan, that like he's bad to animals or something.
Yeah.
Like Jackie Chan is absolutely
awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Jackie
Chan or anyway.
Wedding entertainment. Like, could he like do? I'm not super familiar with Jackie Chan's work. So
wedding entertainment. Well, he probably could do like a stunt set or something.
Yeah,
martial arts comedy.
Yeah.
He could do this thing where he runs at a car and jumps through the windows.
Yeah.
It's really fucking
cool. Grooms would love that. Like, can you imagine how pleased they would be
well,
with
again,
Jackie Chan at
martial
their
art. You know, world famous martial artist Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan's coming. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were talking about world famous martial artist Jamie Brown.
World famous.
Right, so okay, and then just a couple other quick ones here. Elon Musk, he's a total wank. Are
no,
we all agreed that Elon Musk
no,
is a total wank?
Jamie
no.
would jizz his pants, I think.
No.
Because he would bring a space program to the island and that would be everything Jamie would ever want. It would be like the ultimate wedding gift.
So he's not coming then. God, he's just an absolute wank. So, other than that, there's just one or two other ones.
What about women? Are we not inviting any women to
this? I was just going to say, like, the other ones that were on there are, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Michael Jordan. Mm. All pretty standard.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan! People still admire Michael Jordan in 2018.
No, I mean, one of the greatest sportsmen of all time.
Over 40. Yeah.
However,
iconic sportswear brand.
Yeah, but also, you know, that's the thing, but it's disappointing that he's there. And Wayne Gretzky isn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wayne Gretzky, more personal records.
Who's Wayne Gretzky?
He's the great one.
Yeah, the greatest ice hockey player of all time.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan wasn't an ice hockey player.
No, he was a basketball
Stop
player.
Stop confusing sports.
Well, he even did that because he played baseball for
him. That's true, yeah.
Chicago White Sox. So let's go on to the women. Who's basically, who at this woman am I going to try and hit on? It's basically, so the world's most admired woman in 2018 is Angelina Jolie.
Oh, fuck off. Who did this poll?
It's YouGov. It's the general public.
Give people a list. Like, someone who's like over 50 at YouGov just wrote down the names of celebrities that they knew and asked folk to rank them.
Possibly.
Angelina Jolie, really?
She just goes around the world stealing children.
Yeah, I was going to say, have we got any children on the island?
So basically, if we had like a Pied Piper style problem with children on the island, Angelina Jolie would steal them and get rid of them all. I'm perfectly entitled to, but I think we should invite Angelina along.
Who's been having kids on the island? Because so far, there's one woman.
He's squeezing them out. That's why I'm only here every third or fourth week, because I'm too busy popping out wains.
None of us were the fathers, so are they all
beautiful
sort of
ethnic
half,
mixed race babies?
I was going to say, are they all half honey badger?
Yeah, super hairy. Yeah.
So number two on the most admired women is Michelle Obama. And I think, in fairness, you can't invite Barack.
If Barack's coming, you get a plus, like, partners. Maybe not a random plus one.
No, but...
because you don't know who you'll end up with if you're winning with a random plus one, but partners you have to invite.
Well, who's plus one? Who do you want? Michelle, or do you want Barack?
I would just like to point out that actually, my other half didn't get an invite to Kutch's wedding. If I'm having a go at not getting invites for weddings, Craig did not get an invite to your wedding.
But that was well and truly discussed beforehand.
Well, I just felt the need to level out.
It wasn't just a little card, and that was that.
I felt like the need to level out having a go at people about wedding invites.
So, anyway. Oprah Winfrey.
No, I can't stand Oprah Winfrey. I would fight Oprah Winfrey if she came to the wedding.
That would be so funny.
I'd love to see that too.
She is just an interminable bore.
Yeah.
She's an interminable bore, and she's also like represents everything that's terrible about the capitalist society that we've created that internalizes capitalism as a self-improvement project without people being aware about it. So she's constantly flogging people the idea that if you buy the right books and read them, and if you buy the right clothes, and if you spend money on this and spend money on that, you will be happy and you will be a better person.
Yep.
And it's all bullshit.
Yep.
As I've said on previous occasions, when people talk about Oprah Winfrey as the next American president. We've already had a billionaire celebrity president.
Yeah.
That hasn't worked out very well with no policy experience.
Yeah.
So, no thanks, Oprah. You're not coming in. The Queen. Don't we all love the Queen?
No.
No?
Nope. Okay, she's not getting
it. No. Yep. No.
Yeah, I did watch a video on YouTube today. Like every woman in their 30s, I like watching what I eat in a day videos on YouTube. Like, I've yet to find a woman that doesn't enjoy that, even though I hate myself for it. And I watched a What Does the Queen Eat in a Day video.
She's like a sparrow.
But this was claiming, this is just some bullshit website that did a video. And it claimed that she has like Special K for breakfast in the morning. And then the next thing that she eats after a Special K is a gin and Dubonnet at 12 o'clock every day. Two parts Dubonnet, one part gin. Every day without fail. And that, I have a newfound respect for the Queen. She has a gin and Dubonnet. She then has a martini with her dinner. And then she finishes off the evening with champagne. Like, if I was the Queen, I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think we should invite her because we can't afford that on our drinks bill. Like, I'm not buying.
We've got Chianti.
We have no Dubonnet for the Queen. Yeah. So.
Surely somebody's making rum. Jamie must be making rum in his plantation.
Yeah, we'll probably have some rum. So, Emma Watson.
Oh, no.
All right.
This is a really...
So, yes.
Mark.
Would you like... Is she going to be your token woman to hit on? You can pick any of these if you like. Not that we're objectifying the women on this list.
It would probably be Angelina Jolie or Emma Watson. Yeah.
Would it?
Yeah. I'd basically have a crack at one of them. And when she rejected me, I'd drunkenly stumble across the other, put the old arm around the shoulder. All right, Emma, how you doing, darling?
You're pretty. Can I kiss you?
I really love all your feminists.
Kutch actually knows my moves. Also, like, she is quite cool. Like, Emma Watson is quite cool. She speaks out on things.
She does, yeah.
Her Twitter thing's quite good. If she doesn't understand things, she asks questions. Mm-hmm. I actually have a lot of time for her. Don't think she's a great actress.
She's all right.
Actually seen her in anything.
She's definitely Hermione.
Her on Twitter, so.
I think she's a better public figure than she is an actress, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. So I quite like her. Well, on to somebody who is a public figure. Malala Yousaf... Oh, God.
Yousafzai.
Yeah.
Malala Yousafzai. Oh, yeah.
God, yeah. I could say that about 2 minutes ago, and then I suddenly read it, and I was like... Ugh.
So I think she's someone that has really earned respect more than the likes of Emma Watson.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think Emma Watson was given a platform and she's
to
an extent using it. Yeah, but like also but coming at it from a position of very wealthy privilege.
Yeah.
Whereas Malala Yousafzai has achieved really amazing things.
Yeah, she has.
I think
she's actually amazing.
I think if she was at the wedding though, she might make us all feel like fucking massive underachievers in our lives.
Yeah.
Not sure that's the effect that you want at a wedding.
So for that reason, maybe not. Just because you'll make us feel bad.
And I suppose it is a wedding and this is how you
curate a wedding. This is the kind of petty jealousies that happen at weddings.
Yeah.
So very quickly, I didn't notice that Madonna was also on the list at number 10. So she could help with Angelina Jolie.
I was just going to steal children
with her little child catcher mobile. Sand buggy... child catcher mobile. So that's fine. Right, this is one I absolutely fucking resent, right? there are two people, one person who is not on this list who I'm quite surprised by. There's no Beyoncé Knowles on this. A woman who's used capitalism to basically franchise feminism. For a commercial gain.
I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in Beyoncé. I do not give a shit about her songs or what she thinks or what she wears. And I'm somebody who watches. I'm somebody who watches What I Eat in a Day videos on YouTube repeatedly. And even I don't give a shit about Beyoncé. Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I quite like her tunes. Yeah. I think Crazy in Love is one of the best pop tunes ever.
Oh, no. Right. Okay. So, early 2000s Beyoncé.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more inclined to invite Crazy in Love era Beyoncé. Mm-hmm. That was a good album. That was a good song.
Yeah.
But as she's got older, like recent years Beyoncé, I don't understand why she's such this amazing feminist icon, other than, again, she spent shitloads of money on the way that she looks and encourages other people that if you spend enough money on the way you look, then you'll look like her as well, which you won't.
The capitalist dream.
It's also really easy to have a great platform and give people life lessons when you're married to a billionaire music impresario as well.
He totally cheated on you, but you stayed with him anyway because he's a millionaire music impresario.
Yep.
So we're not inviting Beyoncé. So,
but yes, the sort of in the very similar vein, Taylor Swift.
Well, no, I would have Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's got some banging tunes.
Nah.
Especially if she's bringing Ed Sheeran.
I was just going to say.
Absolutely fuck off.
Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran are made for one another because I don't believe Ed Sheeran's a real person. Like, I don't believe Taylor Swift's a real person. I've never seen them in real life. So, you know, correlation is definitely causation here.
Taylor Swift is basically like someone.
Coming to the music.
Right.
And she's got some really good songs.
No. Nobody can be that dull. And same with Ed Sheeran. Nobody can be that boring and make that generic music. Such generic music. Nobody real can do that.
Shake it off.
You can try and sing me out of this rant. But Ed Sheeran, like I say, generic music that is just, like, it's awful. The lyrics are awful. The melodies and the beats are just so fucking meh. He's been entirely created in a laboratory by a record company.
If you were creating him in a laboratory, you would not make him ginger.
No, you would. You would.
Well, that is a good point. Because
you would because you're
Jamie and Ed Sheeran are all ginger.
Yeah, like total ginger Love Island.
Do we know that? Have you ever seen them in real life?
No.
Maybe.
Jamie's not here now.
Yeah. Maybe he's Ed Sheeran.
Well, I'm going to invite Taylor Swift and we're going to have a wee dance party over there. And if you guys don't want to come, that's fine.
Well, if you're trying
I might to set get... the honey badger on her.
Yeah, if you're trying to get Taylor Swift to do the music, I'm going for number 15 on the list, Theresa May to do the karaoke.
Oh, no, she'd surely be doing the hair and the makeup. Theresa May.
What?
Is that a Theresa May Tresemme?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, God, I did not get that at all. That's terrible.
One last one on this list, because I'm just utterly surprised that she's made it. To number 14 on the list, Gal Gadot? Gadot?
No, I can see how she's made it onto the list, especially across the last year, because she's Wonder Woman, and that was one of the highest grossing films of the year.
Yeah, but it's only one big film.
Yeah, but of the year, if you think about it, yeah, of 2018, if you're going to talk about like admired women, she is up there at the moment. But well, she was actually two films, because she was Wonder Woman again and Justice League as well.
Yeah.
So
I've not watched either of them, but I've got I know Justice League's pish without watching it.
It's there, you can borrow it.
Nah,
it's,
all right.
It is
pish.
You know what? It's bang okay. I wouldn't go as far as pish. It's just yeah, it could be so much better, and it's not. Wonder Woman, however, is quite a good film. It's a really good remake of Captain America First Avenger.
All right.
Which is a good film. So, you know, that's kind of really it. But yes, the character's kind of cool, kind of interesting, and like I say, again, it's the whole sort of representation on screen. Finally got this, you know, female superhero that is just basically absolutely banging, you know, not knocking everybody about, killing Nazis. What's not to love?
She's not getting on. And the final one on the list at number 20 is Elizabeth Warren, American senator. I think.
Oh, yeah,
congresswoman or senator.
Yeah,
she's basically senator. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. She's pretty sound, isn't she?
She's very sound. Good left.
Let's invite her.
Yep,
I think she'd be absolutely great. I'd like her there.
That would be good.
Yeah. Now, whoever Jamie and Dave won, tough, because we're making this list up.
Well,
well, we got to do it.
I mean, we've invited Jackie Chan, so
they've got to be happy with Jackie Chan.
And Vladimir's going to be there, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
This is going to be a banging wedding.
Yeah,
I think it'll be quite a good party. Just get some of the dance floor bangers on. And
do you want to know who's not? Do you want to know who's definitely not coming?
B.A.
No, well, apart from B.A., Tom Hanks. You'd think Tom Hanks is a good person to have on a desert island. Nah.
No, we've all seen Castaway.
But nah. Don't trust him. Same with Philip Schofield. He's not coming.
No, definitely not.
Nah, the two of them.
No, Phil.
Too many skeletons in their cupboard, I'm pretty sure of it, allegedly. But yeah, I think that's that. Eh?
I think, look, it was a nice wedding.
So, I think, listeners, it was a great wedding. We had a great time. There are photos available, and Kutch is going to put these up on Facebook in the coming days, aren't you? Photos of the wedding from all these people that are now coming to the wedding.
Thanks for the pressure.
You can pop them up maybe one a week for the next wee while.
No, I just need to find a good wedding photo of lots of people at a wedding and replace the heads like
Yay!
I always do.
Aww, you've
and
got
stick
lots
them
of
on the island.
Good wedding photos, yeah.
My lazy Photoshops. I love them.
But yeah,
well, that's fair enough. Let's get off.
Congratulations, Jamie and Dave. I'm really
congratulations,
happy.
Congratulations, yeah. It's nice to know that the yous are finally happy.
And just to say, I'm a little bit skint at the moment, so there's no money in the card. But there's definitely an IOU.
I didn't have any money. I just chucked in like a few banana leaves and a coconut. So, yeah.
It's what we found.
It's what we've got on the island. Seeing as Jamie's got all the sugar and all the coke and all the money. Yeah. So, I suppose we should really call this to a close, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I'm surprised we've actually talked for this long.
Yeah.
I had nothing to say to the pair of you when I walked in here, to be honest. So
we've done all right.
We've done all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. I don't feel quite so bad about the world now.
Yeah,
that
so
like a good wedding to cheer you up.
Cheer you up. But honestly, Fife fans, if you're feeling a little down, maybe a bit late to tell you this is the episode to miss. But yeah, I suppose it does bring us to that time of the week when I have to ask Mags, what is the motto?
The play's gonna play. And the hay's gonna
kill me.
I'm just gonna shake it off. Shake it off.
Oh. Good night.
Bring on the Armageddon.
Oh, that's especially for Lizzie, that she hates me singing that song.